Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
Holy Spirit, I need you and I always acknowledge you to direct my path, to anoint me, Father, with fresh anointing. Lord, I pray that tonight these words that I'm about to speak will not be my own. Let them be the words that are led by your heart and give us hearts to receive what you are saying. Lord, give every person in this room, young and old, ears to hear what the Spirit is saying in Jesus' name. We agree for that. Amen. Okay, I don't have a lot of time, so I want to get right on to this and share with you something that is really, really on my heart. Over the past few days, literally the past 2 or 3 days, there's just been an increasing weightiness, really in a good way, but I don't know if weightiness is the word. I guess it is. Stirring an awareness of something in the spirit realm, but especially concerning our nation. And I shared that last night with the ladies that were here. And it's a word that is there's an urgency to it. I feel like there's a time to it to even be able to share it. Because I believe, as I told you last night, that we have a window right now of opportunity. And listen to me. We need to listen right now with ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I was praying this weekend, a prayer I've never prayed before, but I would begin to pray this weekend, God, raise up prophets right now, true prophets in the church that are hearing the true word of God, because we need to hear what God is saying in the church in this hour. Can you say amen in agreement with me for that? Now, I know there are true prophets. I believe you have one here. But we need some voices to rise up right now in the body of Christ with the word of the Lord. I believe we are in a window right now, and like I told you last night, for America, that window, the word I heard over it was, it's a window called Who Knows Perhaps. I believe the future, for those of you who were not here last night, I believe the future of this nation is going to be determined by the response of the intercessors in this hour. I believe the future of this nation is going to be determined by whether or not we, as the people of God, heed the voice of God and obey His word to seek Him and humble ourselves and pray and believe that God will turn this land. I believe we have a little window, and I believe that window is closing, and I believe we need to hear the word of the Lord. I'm going to read you a scripture that caught my attention some time ago. It's rather a bit of an obscure scripture. You don't read it every day, but it was one of those times when I read it, it came off the page like a voice. It's found in Ezekiel, the 12th chapter, and the 21st verse. Listen carefully, please, to every word. Again, a message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, you've heard that proverb they quote in Israel. Time passes and prophecies come to nothing. Tell the people, this is what the sovereign Lord says. I will put an end to this proverb and you will soon stop quoting it. Now, give them this new proverb to replace the old one. The time has come for every prophecy to be fulfilled. Verse 26, then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, the people of Israel are saying, he's talking about the distant future. His visions won't come true for a long, long time. Therefore, tell them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. No more delay. I will now do everything I have threatened. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. Now, at the time Israel receives this message, it was not good news for Israel. They had sinned. Judgment was heading toward them. And God speaks to the prophet to give them a message that it's time for everything I have said to come to pass. What is the lesson for us in 2024 from this passage that I believe the Lord has highlighted these scriptures to me for? I believe this is it. There comes a time when whatever God has said will come to pass. As simple as that is, I pray that you'll hear me with ears to hear the spirit of wisdom and revelation. There comes a time when whatever God has said will come to pass. So I'm thankful tonight that we, as His children, are not left in the dark on His thoughts and plans about what He is doing. I wasn't going to read this passage tonight, but I changed my mind. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. Now concerning how and when all of these things will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly like a thief in the night. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall upon them as suddenly as a pregnant woman's labor pains begin, and there will be no escape. Verse 4, but you are not in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, and you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We do not belong to darkness and night. So be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. You know what that tells me? It's very possible that we may be the generation that sees the second coming of Jesus. Now, I understand that every generation for the past 2,000 years, they have thought they were the generation. That's why Paul, by the Spirit of God, told them and encouraged them that that's true for them. They should always live like they would be that generation. But according to the verses I've just read you in Ezekiel, there will surely come a day when someday the wait is going to give way to reality. Oh, yes, there is. There's going to be someday when a generation will see the eastern sky split and the Lord Himself descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You better shout tonight. That's a promise. That's our blessed hope. Come on. Oh, that's so exciting. Whew, I feel like I just say that over and over tonight all night long and just quote that one verse. You better help me preach tonight. Wasilla, come on and help me preach. I want you to talk back to me. We're in the King's Chapel living room, and I need help preaching, and I want to hear from you. Are you excited about the second coming of Jesus? The people that are living in the year 2024, like I told you last night, we know something is going on. We said we don't really understand the past events, even in the past 4 years, but there's something happening. And it's every day. And honestly, to be truthful with you, I'm sort of checking just at least the news feed every day just to see. Because Matthew 24, 27 says, just as the gathering of vultures shows that there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate the end is near. When I read what Jesus called the signs to look for, and I see the current events that are surrounding us today, it looks to me like the buzzards are circling. Come on. Jesus said we need to take note. Israel, even this week, looks like there's enemies rising up to surround her. I mean, a few months back now, a young man that's been part of the ramp since he was a child, I've known his life closely, his family closely. This young man grew up at the ramp. Now he's grown up, he's not a kid anymore. But ever since he was a young boy, I watched him grow up in the presence of God. He always had a special touch on his life. He's the real thing. And he has a gift from God, an unusual prophetic gift from God. God speaks to him often in dreams that are highly unusual. He's private with these dreams, but he does share them with me. And maybe one or two more. He's actually now just gone on staff as one of the pastors at Upper Room in Dallas. But a few months back, Chase sent me this dream he had just had that night. And I asked him, with his permission, could I share this dream? And he said, of course. I'm going to share this dream with you tonight because I feel led of the Lord to do so. So I want you to listen carefully to the details of it. Are you with me? Chase said, I had a dream last night. And in the dream, I was at Camp Ramp. A Camp Ramp is 120 acres of land that we have in Hamilton, Alabama, that I have visioned to build a camp there someday should Jesus tarry. He said, in the dream, I was at Camp Ramp. And I know I was there to climb Prayer Mountain. We have a place there called Prayer Mountain. But before I could get there, I noticed that there are thousands of yellow snakes everywhere. In the trees, hiding under the dirt, filling almost every space. As I'm standing there, I hear the voice of the Lord telling me to gather the snakes into a pile and burn them. That I was not to kill them one by one, but all at once. I then gather them into a pile and burn them. I then head to Prayer Mountain. And when I get to the top, I see that the whole top of the mountain is on fire. And as I get closer to it, I see Jesus standing in the middle of the fire. I knew that I'm supposed to get to him, but I'm not sure how. Jesus looks at me, and I realize the key to get to him is on my arm. My eyes then fall on a tattoo that says, fully given. I knew it was the key. I then step into the fire with Jesus. As I'm standing there, I see these massive dark clouds forming in the sky and the wind beginning to blow, and I know a massive storm is coming. Jesus then speaks to me, and he says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." But it was hard to keep my eyes off the massive size of the storm. Jesus then looks at me and says, there's another wave coming. I ask him, what's in the wave? He said, fear and anxiety. He then points to a radio tower that is off in the distance, and I know that the waves are coming through sound waves of radio media, social media, and news. I then look at him. And he smiles and says, guard your heart. As soon as he says this, it starts raining and the fire's going out around me and the Lord leaves. And I knew it was the beginning of the storm and the waves being released. I look at the radio tower and I see a red light beginning to blink. And I know that the sound waves are being released. And I had to cover my ears and leave. And I woke up from the dream. Now, when I heard this dream, I knew clearly it was a word from the Lord. And it goes back to what I said a few moments ago. I am thankful, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 that I just read, God does not leave his children in the dark. Aren't you thankful for that? In fact, I love the fact that he's always willing to speak to us if we have ears to hear. And when I heard this dream, I knew that we needed to hear it rightly and respond to it correctly. And listen, I know God speaks to us in many ways. And dreams, it is one of those ways. But no matter what unique way God speaks to us, we always have to make sure it's lining up with this word. But that dream, in my opinion, from what I'm understanding from the Lord, absolutely is confirmed in this word. I want to break down to you for an important reason some of the things I believe God is speaking to us as a church tonight from this. And for time's sake, I'm going to try to make myself stay close to these notes so I won't trail off on rabbit trails. Pray for me. Pray for me. All right? First of all, there are yellow snakes everywhere in this dream. He is trying to get to Prayer Mountain. In fact, Chase said it to me like this. He said, I was on my way to pray, but fear got in the way. Because he said, I understood when I saw that there were yellow snakes everywhere, that in dreams, snakes represent, yellow represents fear. Snakes, of course, can represent like deception. So it's fear, it's something deceiving, but fear is really what it's all about. And right now, we are being surrounded by fear nearly everywhere we look. And the opportunity to be afraid. That's why I love that they just sang that song. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. In the dream, the Lord tells Chase, and I believe he's talking to us tonight in a unique way, that we are to destroy the snakes. He said, destroy them all at once, not one at a time. That's a unique thought. Why would the Lord say that to Chase in this dream? To destroy the snakes all at once and not one at a time. Simple, I believe, because we do not have time to tolerate or befriend these little fear snakes. They are deceptive and they are destructive. In our lives, we don't need to make room or excuse to tolerate even the littlest or the smallest fear in our lives. Are you with me? We need to make a check of that even today in the house where we're staying here. I just had a thought and I thought, ooh, I think I've been having some fear a little bit in that area. I'm not even realizing it. Well, I'm not going to just make room for it and make excuse for it. It has to go. We can't. And in fact, I don't want to have any fellowship with anything that brings fear. It is never God's will for you to live in fear. Never, no matter what's happening in the world, it is never God's will for you to look at what's happening and live in fear about it. Even if you want to prep, if you want to do whatever you want to do, I don't know what God tells you to do, but I know whatever He tells you to do, we don't need to do it because we are afraid. Because like Pastor Daniel just said, our trust is in the Lord. So we are not to live in fear. I love what Ephesians 5:11 says this. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. I'm not even going to fellowship. I don't want any kind of darkness in my house. I don't want to tolerate any area that brings fear. I'm not going to watch something that brings fear. I'm not going to watch something that brings darkness. I want no fellowship with darkness in my life. No fear at all. Shout, no fear at all. Now, so how do we do what Jesus said and destroy the fear all at once? Well, thank you for asking. It's found in 1 John 5:14. Perfect love casts out all fear. How much fear? So when he says to get rid of the fear all at once, then perfect love casts out how much? It's amazing to me that it says perfect love. Because you would think when you're battling a spirit like fear, the monster of fear, I would have thought that God would have chosen a weapon that would be like major, like, you know, something that's like, I don't know, like bold declarations to cast out fear. You'd have thought, I would have expected some kind of a spiritual sledgehammer to come against the monster that that thing is. And yet he says, perfect love. Love. Perfect love. Cast out all fear. It's kind of just fascinating to me. Why love? 1 John 4:16 explains it. Because love is not a thing, it is a person. 1 John 4:16 says, God is love, and God is perfect love. 1 John 4:18 says, and in him there is no fear at all. What am I telling you tonight? I love that because inside of God, perfect love casts out all fear. Now look at this. And he says, inside of God, there is no fear at all. I love it when Jesus made that statement to the devils. His disciples. He said, Satan has no place in me. In other words, fear has no place in God. I love that because for us, you cannot cast out something that you are in fellowship with. I said, you can't cast out something you are in fellowship with. So if you are in fellowship with fear, don't think you have authority to cast it out. That's why God says there's no fear in him at all. That's what the word says. In God, there's no fear at all. So if you want to cast out all fear, how are you going to do it? Get inside God. Get inside perfect love. Get into a place where there is no fear at all. I hope you get what I'm saying. Do you understand? If you want to cast out all fear in your life, in the days that we are living in, and the things that are coming upon this nation and this world that we've never seen before. If we're not going to live in fear, how are we not going to do it? We're going to have to stay inside God. We're going to have to stay inside the one in whom there is no fear at all. It just reminded me, of a little dog we used to have. Rick and I, we had a little Shih Tzu dog. She's with the Lord now. Cutest little thing you've ever seen, little black and white Shih Tzu. And her name was Tinkerbell. We loved her ridiculously. She slept with us. I mean, it was bad. She was like a daughter to us. And I remember one day, when I was saying this, it makes me think of this. I remember one day I had Tinkerbell out and I was taking her out to go to the bathroom. And I had let her out and she'd wandered out in the yard, you know, just a bit. And she was kind of moseyed on out, and I'm on the porch waiting on her to do her job and do her thing, you know. So I'm sitting there watching her, waiting on her, wanting her to come on. So I'm looking at her, and I look up, and I see coming down the road in front of my house a stray dog that is bad news. It's a big dog. I mean, it's a big dog. And it's coming quick, and it's coming with intent, and it's coming toward her. And I looked up at that thing. And all of a sudden, I see Tinkerbell, and she's using the bathroom. But then she turns around and sees that dog coming toward her, and that little thing comes running toward me. I mean, with everything. She's like, I mean, I can see her big old eyes just, whoa! And I was on the porch going, come on, Tinker! Come on, Tink! Come on, Tinkerbell! And that big old dog's going behind her. She's right in front of it. And all of a sudden, I watch her and she runs up the steps of the front porch. She runs onto the porch. She gets right between my legs and she looks back at that dog and goes, rah, 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 rah. I love it. She didn't tackle him by herself. She knew, I know where my safe place is. Oh, she knew, my mama's bigger than you are. Oh, come on. I know where to go when I'm in trouble because the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in it and we are saved. Give the Lord praise if you believe that. How are you going to keep fear out? Dwell in God. Psalms 91:1 says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. I am sure that he will deliver me. And then the whole 91st chapter has to do with overcoming fear. Come on, God took care of his kids. He says that over and over. It's one of the things he repeats more than anything. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why are you afraid? Because we should be dwelling in him. That's the only way to keep fear out of your life is to dwell in God. Dwelling, he that dwells in the secret place. Where's the secret place, might you ask? Matthew 6:6. When you pray, enter in your closet. And when you've shut the door, you pray to your Father, which is in secret. And your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. Where does God dwell? He dwells in the secret place. He lives in the secret place. What is the secret place? Look at me. It is your place of prayer and intimacy with God. You want to stay out of fear? You want to stay out of fear? Then dwell in the secret place. You want to stay out of fear? You want to keep fear out? How to stay out of fear? Stay in prayer. Stay in intimacy with God. That means to stay there, to dwell there. Don't just visit occasionally. It's every day, every day, every day, every day I dwell. That means I live in the secret place. It's every day, every day, every day, every day. It's 1 Thessalonians 5:16. He said, pray without ceasing. How in the world do you pray without ceasing? I know. I think I sort of figured it out for me. I made this up. I hope it's theologically correct. I believe it is. How do you pray without ceasing? Because I live in Him. He lives in me. I live in Him. Holy Spirit lives in me. Because He lives in me, I commune with Him all the time. I commune with Him. Sometimes I'm praying at my house, in my place. I love to pray. Sometimes it's loud. Sometimes I'm down the old dirt road behind my house, and I'm praying out loud. I just pray in all kinds of settings, but I pray all the time. We commune constantly. We commune. I can pray when I'm doing, sometimes it seems like all the talking, and then sometimes when I'm at Walmart, I can still pray right there. It's always a conversation. I'm listening for Him, and He's listening to me, and I love that. Sometimes in Walmart, when I'm a little, got a lot on my mind, I don't need to be stopped. I'll just pick up my phone and I just talk to God on the phone the whole time I'm in Walmart. And I just pretend like, because I know it's not pretending, it's the truth. He's on the other end of that phone. So I'm just praying while I'm at Walmart. Right there in the produce section, I'm getting the oranges and I'm just talking away. And I just pass people while they look at me and just... But I just keep praying because I just pray all the time. That's how I do. I pray. Sometimes when I'm talking to other people, they're talking to me and I'm talking to the Holy Ghost inside of me because I'm always communing. I can pray without ceasing. Well, even when other people are talking to me, sometimes I'm listening to them and I can hear the Holy Ghost talking to me while they're talking to me. I can hear the Holy Ghost saying, don't say it. Don't you even open your, don't do it. You can always commune with the Holy Spirit. Now, see, I'm off on a rabbit trail. Back, Karen. In the dream, Chase was on his way to Prayer Mountain. The mountain was on fire. I love that. Are you here? Listen to me. He was on his way to Prayer Mountain. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? We're living doing this, people. This whole journey we're on is an ascent to a higher place. We'll never plateau if you're running after God. People that are bored in their walk with God, they don't know God. How could you be bored when He reveals Himself to you every day? If you're bored in your walk with God, you don't know the real God. It's an ascent. Who will ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, no idols and no deceit. I want to live ascending the hill of the Lord. Chase could see the fire, and Jesus was in the fire, and Chase wanted to get to Him in the dream, but he knew, and the Lord communicated with him, that the answer to how to reach Jesus in the place he was there was tattooed on his arm, and he looks down at two words, fully given. How are we going to go into this place that God is calling us to, church, in the year of 2024, in the world that we're living in right now, in our nation? We've got to have God. I told you last night, it's not church as usual, and it never will be again. It's not church as usual. We've got to have God. No, please look at me. No, we've got to have the real God. No, I'm not talking about just a religious God in your head. I want the real God. I want the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I want the God that parted the waters for Moses. Come on, I want the God of this book right here. I want the real God. And if you want to know the real God and encounter the real God, he answered Chase in a word I think we need to hear. You want to come to me in a higher place? You want to live with me in a higher place? Two words, fully given. Fully given to God. fully given to the place of prayer. Not part-time, not a Sunday morning visitation, not an occasional devotion, but everything in our lives fully, fully, fully given to God. 24/7, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 24 hours a day, not in and out, not a little hypocrisy over here on the side, not a little compromise over here and back to church on Sunday. Every day, every day, every day, every day, fully given to God. When you live fully given to God and you're dwelling inside of God, listen to me carefully. When you are living fully given, dwelling inside God, God will begin to share with you His secrets because you have a friendship and an intimacy with Him. That's why I believe Chase got this word. He lives that way. Listen, if you live in a place with God, oh, I want to stay there. I want more of it. I've served Him almost all my life, but oh, I hadn't even scratched the surface. I want to live, I want to be in that place where He would just call me His friend like He did Abraham. Oh, come on, in Genesis 18, God realized that there was going to be destruction brought on a city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But even before He did what He had planned to do, Genesis 18, God says, before I do that, how could I not share my plan first with Abraham? I need to go talk to Abraham first about this. I need to share with him. So I want to hear what Abraham thinks about this. It's one of the most unbelievable interactions to me in the whole Bible, and I don't have time to go preach it. So Karen, you are not going to. But listen to me. Go read it for yourself. Genesis 18. And the great intercessor, Abraham, begins to intercede for a nation that was, for a city that was headed for judgment. All because before God did what He was going to do, He found one friend and said, I got to go talk to him before I do it. Do you want to be that kind of friend to God? Or do you just satisfied to come to church and hear what Pastor Daniel tells you about God? Believe me, there's a part and there's a place, and that's important to do that. But what Pastor Daniel tells you about God needs to be what you've already been hearing about God in the secret place, in the private place of your own house, and you come in here to hear Him confirm what you've already been hearing from God. Are you just content to come to church every once in a while? Is that enough for you? Because, oh, Connie, that makes me really wonder if you've even seen the real God. Because when you've seen the real God, you cannot be content with just going through a little weekly ritual every Sunday morning and hurry up and get out so we can go eat. I just wonder if you've even known the real God. Oh, if you're satisfied to live with a status quo. God knows things we need to know. And as we seek Him and listen, He will tell us what's coming. He told us in this dream that He gave Chase that there's a storm coming. Church, He told Chase to tell us that there's a storm coming, a massive storm. A storm he couldn't get his eyes off of because of the severity of it. And the Lord tells Chase, don't let your heart be troubled. There's another wave coming. What's in the wave? Fear and anxiety. Then He points to a radio tower off in the distance. And Chase said, I knew that the waves were coming through sound waves, news, media. And listen to me right here. If you don't listen to anything else I've said tonight, give me your attention on the end. When Jesus pointed to the radio tower, after He said, there's another wave coming, He points to the radio tower. He looks at Chase and he says this, guard your heart. I believe the dream is telling us that there is a storm coming. And y'all, can you not feel that? I believe the winds are already beginning to blow. We don't know what the details of the storm is circumstantially, but we are told what it's going to produce. Fear and anxiety. Now, I believe that's supposed to, that what that means is in the world, it should produce fear and anxiety, but not within the house of God. That's why I've come tonight to tell you what the Lord has told us. What are we supposed to do about this storm? How are we going to keep the fear and anxiety out of the church and out of us? Dwell in God, live fully given to God, and guard your heart. Now, this is where I'm wrapping up, but I want you to listen. Guard your heart. What does God mean by that? Guard your heart, according to what he said in this dream, from the sound waves. The sound waves are what you hear. What you hear is either going to bring you into fear or bring you into faith. I'm going to say that again. What you hear is either going to bring you into fear or bring you into faith. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing the word of God. That means fear comes by hearing the word of the world. So you must guard your heart by guarding what you hear. Listen to me, because your heart will be affected by what you hear. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 24 that in the last days, men's hearts will fail them because of fear. When you are listening to the God of this world, look at me. When you are listening to the God of this world, isn't he cute? That's my husband. When you are listening to the God of this world, you are listening to these voices that have been, that are influencing through his deception. That's why they call them influencers. Oh, they're influencers, all right. Influencers of deception, leading a generation into utter darkness and separation from God eternally. When you hear a voice that has fear in it, it is the voice of the God of this world, the voice of the stranger. Say, I'm listening. I said, when you are listening, when you hear a voice that has fear in it, you are listening to the voice of the God of this world. He is called the voice of the stranger. John 10 says, the voice of the shepherd is the voice we follow. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and my sheep know my voice. And the voice of the stranger, they will not follow. The sheep know the voice of their father. So when people sometimes look at you weird, have you ever had this happen to you? When you look at somebody and you say, I heard a word from God last night. And they're like, even church people, family members. You ever said something like that, like in a Bible study somewhere? The Lord spoke to me this week, and some women look at you like, I heard she is weird. Honey, I think it's strange if you claim to be a Christian and you're not hearing from God. I think it's strange. That makes me question things, because his sheep know his voice. His sheep know his voice intimately, personally, for themselves. We as the people of God must know the voice that we are listening to, because there are only two voices to pick from. Two, say two. There are two voices, two influences, two, not three, two. It's either truth or a lie. It's light or it's darkness. It's God or it's the devil. It's the shepherd or it's the stranger. And the voice of a stranger, I want you to think about this with me. I got caught on this when I was writing this. The voice of the stranger. What is a stranger? What is a stranger? Someone you do not know. Unfortunately, right now, the church has become so familiar with the voice of the stranger. He doesn't even sound strange anymore. We've allowed his voice to speak so much, and we have grown so accustomed to his tone and to his language, so much so that the stranger's voice has become the familiar voice, and the father's voice has become the stranger. So much now that even now when God speaks, even the church says, that's a strange voice. That's a strange voice because it doesn't say what I want to hear. That's a strange voice. It doesn't say what the culture's saying. It doesn't say what TikTok's saying and Instagram. That's a strange voice because it doesn't agree with what I'm looking at every day. That's a strange voice. Well, that voice right there, that's too antiquated. That voice right there, it's too old-fashioned. That voice right there, it's way too outdated. That voice right there, that voice is so yesterday. Oh, come on. I came to tell you tonight, this voice is everything. This voice is eternal. This voice is our life. This voice is our water. It's our bread. It's everything we've got. This voice is the only truth there is. This voice is the only truth. There's not, one of the things right now I'm seeing with this young generation I work with, one of the things the enemy's done to Gen Z, I just heard it again this week from somebody. You have your truth, I have mine. Everybody has their own truth. That's what they say. I heard it again this week. You have your truth, I have mine. Everybody's got their own truth. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Everybody, there's only one truth. Anything else besides one truth is a lie. There is one truth, and that truth is right here. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm not a truth. I'm not one truth. I am the truth. I am the only truth. Does anybody in this room believe that tonight? Come on, I believe. I know you believe that. Does anybody tonight believe that? The plan of the enemy, church, is to get us so worn down. Like Daniel said in Daniel 7:25, that in the last days he would just wear out the saints. He would wear us down until we start believing and wondering. We start wondering, am I the one wrong? I'm saying this for a reason. I think we've been on this thing so much. It works in our heads so much, he just wears us down with what we're listening to and what we're watching in our culture that it makes you start wondering if you're the one wrong. I'm saying that because of a spirit-filled girl I know that was raised in the Pentecostal church her whole life. And whenever their church was making a decision of whether or not she was actually attending a Methodist church, it was a great Methodist church actually, and they were going to vote on whether or not they were going to allow homosexual marriage and this kind of thing. And then I'm hearing this girl raised in Pentecost, raised in the house of God. I just don't know for sure if what I've always believed about that's right. I've heard a lot of Christians, people that, I had to unfollow people. I had to unfollow ministers. I had to unfollow worship leaders. Are we going to go here tonight or not? Are y'all going to get mad at me or am I going to be okay? I have to say it. I just unfollow people because I see what they say. I see what they compromise with. I see how they're living. I see what they agree with in this world. And I think, I you know what? I'd rather not even have to look at it than have to go pray and repent and forgive them after I look at their post. I'd rather not even have to take the time to have to go repent for what I think. Unfollow. Why would I follow you anyway? I don't want to follow your influence. I'm not following. I'm going to follow somebody like Paul that said, follow me as I follow Christ. I'm going to follow him and I'm going to follow this book. And if nobody else goes with me, come on. If no one goes with me, still I will follow. Anybody else want to go? Band, you can come. I'm rapping. Believing the enemy's lies, church. And I'm talking about a church that I have seen. I'm talking about a church and some things that's blown me away. And I've been in the ministry for a long time. I've never seen a day like we're in. Listen to me. Believing the lies of the deceiver. We come into agreement with the very people and culture that we were sent to change. So rather than telling them the truth, we just want to sort of agree with them so they'll still like us. But I want to tell you something. There is no real love without real truth. I had to make that decision when she was gone. She wanted me to agree with her decisions. And a lot of people told me I should so that she could make her own decisions and be happy. And I should just agree that she's all she wanted to do. She was just wanted to be happy. And I had to make a decision, and it was a hard one, knowing that if I would just agree with her, I'd still have lunch with her. We could still hang out, still be buds. She'd still love her mama, say she's my best friend, my mama. She lets me live any way I want. She just lets me be me because she just wants me happy. When I had to take a hard stand that I cannot agree with you in this lifestyle, Lindsay, knowing it was going to cost me time with my daughter, relationship with my daughter. But I had to realize from my agreement to empower what she's doing, that I'm going to agree with something that's absolutely going to destroy her life. And can I agree with that? No. Can I watch my daughter heading toward the edge of a cliff that's going to fall into the eternal flames of hell? You better believe I will never agree with that. But one thing I will do, I will beg her, I will plead, I'll follow her all the way to the end, I'll hold to her ankles, I'll do everything I can begging her not to go to that place, but to agree with that. I will never agree with it. Why has the voice of the stranger become so familiar to us? This is convicting for me. It's convicting for, I think, for the church right now. Why has the voice of the stranger become more familiar to us than the voice of the Father? Because we spend more time here by far than we do here. He said to guard your heart. Guard your heart from what? From the radio towers of this world, or from the voices of influence of this world, the sound waves that are filling our hearts and our minds with fear and anxiety. Listen to me and look at my eyes that love you. Fear is a doorway to the enemy. Listen to me. Look at me. If you tolerate one bit of fear in your life and you make room for it, or you fellowship with darkness in any area of your life, and I don't care how simple and how easy, how frivolous you may want to make it look, if you tolerate fear and you tolerate darkness, you better believe the enemy will take advantage of that. And he knows how to deceive you. He always comes with, it's nothing to it. It's just simple. It really doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, it doesn't matter. Until one day you realize he has crept all the way in and taken up residence in your house. And it's like Lindsay said yesterday, there's an enemy in your house, and fear is your enemy. Come on, darkness is your enemy, and we will have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. If a storm is coming, and it is, I believe that it is. I mean, you say, Karen, that's not an uplifting, edifying, whoopah message tonight. Well, I think we've had a lot of those in the last 63 years I've been living. And I think we're living in a different day. And we need to listen. How are we going to deal with this? We're going to live inside God and live fully given to the place of prayer. And we're not going to be troubled or afraid. We're going to guard our heart. We're going to stop listening to and gazing. Listen, last thing, Karen, this is the last thing. Okay, I'm almost finished. Watch. Today I felt to go back and reread Chase's Dreams because I wanted to preach. I was feeling to preach on this tonight. I was in my room here. I went back and began to look at some dreams he had sent me throughout the last few years. One of the dreams that Chase had was one of the most unbelievable encounters with God that I've seen somebody have, really. He said that in this dream, I'm not going to go into the details, I'm going to tell you one part of it. He said this angel came And he was taken up. He was taken by the hand out of his bed, but it was a dream, up into a place. He said he saw in the dream where they broke through the barrier and went into pure light. And he gets to this place. I'm going to skip all the details of that. But he ends up standing at a pool of water with Jesus. And Chase says in this dream, "Why am I here?" And the Lord says to him, "You are here to send a message back to my people." Chase said, "What is the message?" And the Lord looked at him and said, "Tell my people to stop staring into the deep darkness." He said, "Tell them to look at me." You know what I heard? Tell them to stop staring. It's so addicted we can't even talk to people. So addicted we can't even fellowship with each other. And it's not just the kids. Go to a restaurant. Go to an airport. Tell my people. Doesn't mean you can't use it. I use it for good. But when we're so addicted to it, we're not hearing from him. We're in trouble. He said, "Tell them to stop staring into the deep darkness. Tell my people to look at me." Remember what happened when Peter was walking on the water in a storm and he started to sink? Jesus just needed him. "You need to look at me, Peter. Not the storm. Don't look at the storm. You look at me." Oh, if there is a storm coming, it ain't his first storm. Even when he was on earth, he weathered two of them. He walked on one of them. He slept through the other one. He spoke peace to both of the storms, and then he rebuked the disciples for them not taking care of him. Come on. Oh, he's not worried about the storm that's coming tonight, even on our nation. God's not in heaven wringing his hands. I don't believe that one bit. I just believe his eyes are looking for somebody he can get himself mighty through and somebody that will trust him and hear his voice and have no fear. Do you want to be those people? Stand on your feet tonight. I hope this word was okay. I had to share with you what is on my heart. Wasilla, we are in a day unlike any day as really has ever been, I believe, on the face of the earth. Certainly unlike any day that our nation has ever seen. I do not know what the days ahead are going to be. I do believe the Lord has spoken to us to be prepared. But the thing is, he wanted to make sure. And I love it because even in Chase's dream, he said the Lord was just smiling and smiling. He just said he just kept smiling at him when he said, "Don't be afraid. There's another wave coming. Don't be afraid. Guard your heart. Live fully given. If you're inside of him, you'll be inside of peace." The call tonight, and I want Pastor Daniel to come. I think instead of giving an altar call, you can, Pastor Daniel, later if you want to. But I want to do this right now. Before I sit down, before I walk off, I feel like the call tonight is a recommitment from all of us. I'll be first in line. I love to recommit. Don't you, Pastor Daniel? Yes. I love every day. I live, Lord, every day. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And I want to know if you'd be willing to break all fellowship with darkness. All fellowship. I don't care what form it comes in. Would you be willing to break up with darkness? Would you be willing to break up with the voices of this world? Would you be willing to break up with the influences of this world? Come on, would you be willing to stop staring into deep darkness and get your eyes on him? If that's you tonight, lift both hands in the air and let's pray that right now. Father, oh God, search my heart. Would you pray that right where you're standing? God, search my heart. Show me right now, God, any area of compromise. Maybe I don't even know it's there. Maybe God, it's an area of tolerating fear. I'm tolerating things that are not pleasing. Jesus. I'm wasting my time with the God of this world. Oh, God, forgive me, God. And prepare my heart. And set my eyes on you, Lord. And have mercy. And tonight, God, I break up with fear. It's getting out of my house. Come on. Fear, get out of my house. Darkness, get out of my house. Anxiety, get out of my mind. I will not fear. I will trust. I will trust. I will rest in peace. So no matter what is coming, my eyes are on Him. And I will not be afraid.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.